Good morning to you. 9 minutes past 10. I did say to you, how safe are you on the roads at this present moment in time, particularly if you are a cyclist? I want to speak to Linda Hurley, who always has her eye on road safety and indeed contributes to the Road Safety Awards when we're there each year giving out the special prizes. Linda, from time to time, comes and represents the Department of Infrastructure and makes a meaningful speech. But the whole year round, Linda, your eye is on these issues.
It is certainly, Frank. Yes, it is an all year round issue. Every day when we use the roads, that's probably the most dangerous activity any one of us will actually do. So we need to remain focused and follow the rules of the road. That's how we stay safe.
And the cycling in particular is coming under the spotlight at the moment. Is that right?
It is. I mean, we're seeing an increase in cycling, particularly in the cities and the towns. And that's great to see, because cycling helps everyone. It helps the environment, helps keep us fit, reduce congestion. So it's a great thing to see. And so for there, we need to ensure that those who choose to cycle are as safe on the roads as anyone else.
Sadly, there have been fatalities. Constantly people are contacting us about the road hogs that are using the road in many different forms of vehicle. And sometimes that road hog is indeed on a bicycle. How do we get the message across to road users to treat everyone with courtesy?
Well, this is the thing. It is a shared space, the road. We all have absolute equal rights to use the road. And I know people who drive vehicles sometimes feel that they have more rights than those who don't, but that's actually not the case. You may pay vehicle tax, but that's only one thing that contributes to the building and the maintenance of the roads. Those of us who pay income tax, VAT, all those sorts of tax, all contribute to maintaining and making new roads. So we've all got equal rights. And in fact, when we're looking at safety, there's a bit of a hierarchy there. In fact, pedestrians and cyclists have more rights on the road than a driver would have, because they're more vulnerable. So if we're driving a vehicle, we need to watch out for those vulnerable road users, and that is a pedestrian and a cyclist. And we need to be patient.
So the bigger your vehicle, the bigger the responsibility you have on the road. If you've got something that's large and fast or large in volume, you have a greater responsibility than someone who's just out for a dander.
You're right, Frank. Look at the damage that a large vehicle can do when it collides with somebody as vulnerable as a pedestrian or those on bicycles. They're very vulnerable. So yes, of course, pedestrians and those who are on bicycles also have to look out for their own safety. But sometimes, as drivers, we can get very impatient. We're in a hurry to get somewhere, and we actually take actions that maybe are not that safe. We try to overtake people on bicycles too closely. If you're overtaking someone on a bicycle, you have to give them as much room as you would give a car. And we're talking about at least 1.5 metres. But sometimes you can see drivers will squeeze through quite a small space to overtake a cyclist.
It happens. It does happen all the time. We see that on the roads, and sometimes, sadly, we see the consequences of it. What do you say to the people who understandably criticise some cyclists? You know, this shared space campaign is... It's obvious from the terminology that's used. We're all sharing the limited space that is out there. The condemnation of cyclists is regular on this show. Not all of them, of course, but some cyclists. What do you say to those people who ride a bicycle, they don't have any lights, they ride a bicycle, they don't stop at red lights, they ride a bicycle, they weave in and out through traffic, they ride a bicycle, they give you the fingers if if you go to overtake them. You know, what's the message to that sort of road user?
Right, a few things there, Frank, you're 100% correct on. When using the roads, whether you're a driver or a cyclist, you have to follow the rules of the road. So if a light turns red, whether you're a driver or a cyclist, you must stop. There aren't different rules for those on bicycles. The same rules of the road apply. If you're weaving in and out through traffic, That's not correct either. Yes, if you're on a bicycle, you can filter through traffic, but only if the traffic is stationary and if you're filtering to get up to an advanced stop box at traffic lights. But normally you do not filter through traffic because you're making yourself unsafe. So there are rules for those on bicycles as there are for drivers, and the new campaign addresses both. It does address the behaviours of those who are cycling to keep themselves safe, and also the behaviours of drivers to watch out and keep cyclists safe as well. So it's a two-way thing.
Well, this is the actual cycling safety ad that's on the TV or coming to the TV. It's a visual as opposed to designed primarily for radio. But I am going to play it, and then you can just talk us through what the bullet points are and what we should be taking from it.
Hi, I'm Sarah, the invisible woman apparently. Sorry, I should have looked properly.
Oh, you were in my blind spot there.
Oh, I'll hang back. Sorry.
No worries, mate.
Whether we cycle or drive, we all have the same right to share the road. Look out for each other.
So what's happening with those individuals? I haven't seen this ad yet.
It's new out today, Frank. It'll be on actually on UTV during the ad break in UTV Live. So what that one in particular, there are two different ads, and that one is addressing watching out for those who are cycling at junctions. And when you actually see the visual, you see the driver almost pulls out in front of the cyclist, and hence the line, "I'm the invisible woman," apparently. And the driver realises that she has done something wrong. So for there she's saying she's sorry. So quite often we're not thinking about what impact our actions might have on someone else. And at junctions in particular, those on bicycles can be quite difficult to see. So we need to look hard at junctions to make sure we can see smaller vehicles like bicycles. So that's what that one's about. Now, the flip side of it is sometimes cyclists themselves take actions which are not safe. And the second part of that campaign is about a cyclist pulling up the inside of a van driver, and he was in his blind spot. So he put himself in danger. So it's a campaign that addresses both issues, and not in a pointing the finger way. It's about, do you realise this is the impact of your behaviour, and a recognition that it's easier to change that behaviour and keep each other safe.
Well, let's hope it does manage to achieve that. And it raises awareness as well. You'll see it tonight on UTV Live at about 6:15, and then you'll see it regularly on UTV. Linda, good speaking to you. Thanks for coming on. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Frank.
That's Linda Hurley, who is from the Department of Infrastructure. George has a point that he wants to make about this. George, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Yeah, go ahead, George.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi there. I'm just phoning up this in regards to the saying about people that drive HGV trucks. Now, I'm an HGV driver, and HGV drivers are all more reluctant to give in cyclists room because HGV drivers are really patient. And another point I've got to say is, if cyclists want to use the road...
Yeah, but just I sort of missed the point, the first point you said about you're an HGV driver. Are you saying they're patient or impatient?
No, HGV drivers are patient.
Are they?
That we can see this. Yeah, because I'm one.
Yeah, you might be one, but like I noticed an HGV driver on the M1 last night, and he was anything but patient. But I suppose it's all different personalities. But in terms of responsibility, an HGV driver has massive responsibility, as far as Linda Hurley's concerned, because the bigger the vehicle, the greater the responsibility.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I definitely agree with that. But I do know a lot of HGV drivers out there that are patient, and when it comes to cyclists, we give them more room.
So how do you negotiate with a cyclist, or how do you behave when you're aware that a cyclist may be in the vicinity of your very large truck?
Well, what I do is, first thing I do is I'll see what's coming towards me. I also see what's coming behind me. And then, obviously, I would negotiate and try and go over into the centre of the road to give the cyclist plenty of room.
Well, it sounds like the right thing to do, George. And as you say, your analysis of how you drive is an analysis that I'm sure is honest, and let's hope that other HGV drivers are as thoughtful and as careful as you are. George, thank you. I think not just lorry drivers, all of us have to be much more conscious of the other road users. That's what this shared space initiative is about. Barry has a point. Good morning, Barry.
Hi, Frank, just listen to that guy, the HGV driver, talking. You come off at Nelson Street there, swinging round right to join the Westlink. All the HGVs are in the right-hand lane and causing chaos. They should be in the very inside lane where they can go safely and easily and let the cars go ahead. But all these HGV drivers are trying to do the big overtake in the outside lane, day and daily.
You feel that they're sort of bullying for position?
Well, do you know where I mean? As you come down off the M2 into what's it called?
No, I know what you mean. You come off the M2 at Nelson Street. You go under the bridge. You're swinging round to the right to go on to the West Link. You feel they should be in the left hand lane as opposed to being out in the right hand lane and then going into that narrowing that's on the West Link.
The cars are faster and should be allowed to use those outside lanes, and the HGV should be in the inside. But you see these big lorries in the outside lane, day and daily.
Yeah, so that is a form of bullying for position. I think that's what we would call it. But then the HGV drivers, they'll argue that they have progress to make too, and that their presence is as relevant on the road as any car. Ken has a point. Let's speak to Ken. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Gosh, Ken, Frank, that is loud. Hold on, do we turn you down a little bit, Ken? Go ahead.
Right. A question. Is it legal to ride a bicycle on a footpath?
Is it legal to ride a bicycle on a footpath? My understanding...
The reason I mention is, Frank, that I live in the Stramulus areas, and people are tortured with people riding their bicycles on the footpath, especially because the road is not all that wide and it's very busy traffic. So the cyclists just take to the footpath and weave their way in and out through people walking along, and especially with elderly people who don't always hear. Bicycles never seem to have bells on them these days, so you just have these whizzing past you on footpaths. And I would just... And nobody's ever clarified to me whether it's legal or illegal to ride a bicycle on a footpath.
Well, I've asked this question many times before, and I'm doing my best to remember what the actual answer was. And I think the answer is that you are entitled to ride a bicycle on a footpath as long as you are treating all other footpath users with courtesy. There are times when it is unsafe for bicycles to actually be on the road, and as a result, they can negotiate the footpath. That's my understanding of it. Some people only use the footpath for their bicycle. They never ride anywhere else, and they ride at great speed on the footpath, like as if they have the same right to the footpath as the people who are using it, and the clue is in the term footpath, with their feet. So I think cyclists who speed along a footpath, who weave in and out of pedestrians, really lack courtesy, but I don't think they're breaking the law.
Well, last question. Is it legal or illegal, to have a bell? Should bicycles not have a bell on it, or some means of alerting people who are being approached from behind that they are approaching? I have never heard anybody on a bicycle yet ring a bell, and I think most bikes today don't even have bells. What's your view on that?
Well, some do have bells, and they come up behind you and they just ring it, like as if, you know, that's going to be the cure to all ills. So they practically startle you with a blooming bell and then zoom past your shoulder. Then there are bicycles who have neither bell nor light. I would be more concerned about people not having lights on their bicycles, about them not wearing high-vis jackets when they're cycling.
That's there should be a means of alerting people. I mean, the other places on the towpath, if you're going along by the river there, where they're usually travelling at a fair lick, and you can suddenly find yourself with them whizzing past you. And if they could, if there was something on the bicycle to alert, at least you could stand aside. But they don't even bother to do that.
Yeah, but part of the problem I find is that if you're on the towpath and they're coming behind you, they ring the bell, the automatic impulse is to stand aside. But sometimes the bicycle is going to undertake you. You don't know whether they're undertaking you or overtaking you. I think the onus is on the cyclist to slow down. If people slow down, they could come up behind you and say, coming through, or excuse me, a bit of courtesy. But now, some cyclists are brilliant. Some cyclists do that. But I'm talking about the ones who are annoying you and who annoy me and annoy other towpath users. But I need to emphasise, the majority of people who are on bicycles that I see in the morning are responsible people who are exemplary in their behaviour.
Well, I think the lady I heard her on there talking about this week, what you might call the cyclist week, but I think also they should highlight the fact that when the cyclists are on footpaths, that they really have to give the pedestrians a clear way. I mean, one day I was walking along the narrow footpath in Stramalus on the right-hand side going out of town by the shops, and it's only just wide enough at this point for a pedestrian to walk. A lady's coming towards me on her bicycle. And actually, I had to step out onto the road to let her pass. And I thought to myself, well, this is rich. You know, I said to her, madam, would you not go on the road? Oh, she says it's not safe for me to be on the road. I had to step onto the road to let her pass.
I know. At least she was coming at a reasonable speed, well, where you were able to have a conversation with her. Some of them come round the corner and hit you right in the gills. You know what I mean?
But she wouldn't even get off her bicycle. Instead of getting off her bicycle and putting in to let me get by, no, she just sat on her bicycle. I was the one that had to step onto the road to let her get past.
So were you sort of eyeballing her? Had she one foot on the ground looking at you, or was she backpedaling and balancing?
Yes. Stop, because she was riding along towards me. Mm-hmm. So there was no way it could pass at all. So one of us had to give. So she was, and there was parked cars as well. So there was no way. I was the one that had to step onto the road to let her go past. And yet there was, believe it or not, at that moment, there was no traffic on the road.
Yeah, but there must have been a point, Ken, when you were stopped and she was stopped. It was like a Mexican standoff, eyeball to eyeball.
Yes. Oh, yes, she had her foot down on the road to balance herself, of course. But she wasn't on, she was still on the bicycle. She didn't get off the bicycle.
Well, do you not think, Ken, that as a gentleman of whichever part of Belfast you're from, it would have been appropriate for you to have stepped onto the road? The chivalry is never dead.
Yes, but I did had to step on the road. But my point is, she should have been on the road. That was my point. It was a very narrow footpath. There was only room for one person literally to walk. And there was no, although there was parked cars, but there was no traffic passing at the time. But she decided that it was safer for her to ride along the footpath, irrespective of who was walking on it. The people who were walking on towards all had to go onto the road to let her go past on her bicycle.
Fair play, fair point. Very well described, Ken. The vital piece of information there was no traffic on the road. What on earth was she doing riding on the pavement when there's no traffic on the road? Right, 0289 033 105. Martin is on line 4. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning, Frank. How you doing? Frank, I'm a road user. I'm a driver, and I was a cyclist for some time. But I'm more a walker now, and I live in County Down, down the Arts Peninsula. So cyclists, HGV lorries, tractors, trailers, buses, everything is a regular occurrence down here, you know what I mean? And where I live in particular, there's little or no footpaths whatsoever. It's just outside Kirkcaldy. And the Portaferry Road has been closed for over the last week or so, and obviously all the traffic is being diverted. So I like to get out and walk. And When people go by me, especially like the HGV driver earlier, I haven't seen that kind of courtesy coming past me at 40, 50, 60 miles an hour to make their destination or their boat. I understand that aversion causes trouble for them, they're running late and everything else, but there's no courtesy whatsoever when they're passing a walker.
Okay, Martin, now I'm going to have to leave it there, but it's a very good point that you make. Where is the courtesy when passing pedestrians? Good morning, and good morning to Marina, who's on line one. Morning, Marina.
Morning, Frank. Thanks for taking the call, Frank. We just want to correct the one of your callers who called in there about HGV drivers being arrogant and taking the fall of the road. We drive a very, very big truck. They need two lanes. When we take two lanes, we're not taking it because we want to be show-offs or own the road. The trucks need those two lanes to get turned around.
How difficult is it driving an Artec? Is it more difficult than a large one-piece lorry, or less difficult? Because they are massive.
They're much and much of a strength. It's just the courtesy of other drivers. I mean, car drivers do seem to think that we are arrogant. Coming to the Boucher Road roundabout there, or I think it's the Boucher Road roundabout, coming off the Boucher Road, turning right to go to the motorway, we need two lanes to get across there. There's just no other way you can get round there without it. If you don't, you take out the traffic lights and take out somebody that's passing up your inside. We're not taking two lanes of traffic just because we want to. We need to.
So when you're about to negotiate and you need two lanes of traffic and everyone else just needs one, do you indicate to allow other vehicles to realise that you need all that space, or should we say there's an Artec, give the driver two lanes?
We have to take the two lanes, Frank. Yes, once you cross that white line, you need to, and you have to indicate over that to go over the white line. So 1 minute you're going over the white line, and then you're indicating in the direction that you actually need to go in. It's not a matter of being a hog and wanting two lanes of traffic. It's because you need them. If you don't, you wipe someone out. And especially those cars that are pushing up. You're inside. There's a blind spot in every vehicle, car, lorry, or anything.
So it's important for people who are road users to have the shared space initiative. If they see an articulated vehicle that's going to be negotiating a small roundabout, expect it to need more room. Hold back and allow it to make progress.
Exactly.
And what about cyclists? Where are you with cyclists on the road? Because that's the main reason that we're talking about this morning.
Yeah, I have no problem with anybody on the road, absolutely. As long as they have respect for each other. Yes, you give them plenty of room. It's like passing a horse. You leave extra room for anybody. But if they're going to be idiots and pull out in front of you and not look, come up your inside, you know what I mean, on your blind spot, you have an emission, Frank.
How long have you been driving Artex, Marina?
About 5-6 years.
And how does it compare to, because I often wonder, there's what is the name for a lorry that's massive but doesn't have an articulated bit to it? Is it a static lorry? What's that called? Is it rigid?
A rigid lorry.
Yeah, a rigid lorry. So in terms of, do you progress from rigid up to Artec, or are some of the rigid ones more difficult than articulated lorries? Because they just don't seem to be as flexible.
They're not as flexible, Frank. You actually need more room for a rigid lorry than you do for an Artec. An Artec will bend with you. The rigid will not.
Listen,
we don't hog the two lanes. We actually need them.
Okay, it's an insight into the requirements of driving a very large vehicle, listening to Marina speak there. So maybe, as well as thinking about pedestrians and thinking about the cyclists and other car users, we should also be sparing some sympathy for these guys who are in the largest lorries, thinking that, you know, they've got a more difficult task than any of us. It's worth having this conversation this morning. Marina, thank you very much indeed. 0289033105. Now, here's something I've been looking forward to for years. It's an over 50s expo, and I've just qualified, so I can now go along. Let me speak to Brian McKay. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm good, Brian. I'm now over 50, so I'd be welcome at your expo. What is this expo?
Well, this is an event, Frank, we've been running for 20 years.